Let's now draw near to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we come before you, for we love you. We love that you have heard our cries, that you have delivered us. We thank you that we may do so together on this beautiful day, that we are able to wake up, see your Son, know that you have given us life again, that this is the day that you have made, and so we rejoice and are glad in it. Father, as we draw near into your presence, not only do we come in thanksgiving and joy, we also come in deep humility. We come to call upon you. For Father, not only do you need to wake us up from our sleep again, you also need to wake us up from our spiritual sleep. Father, we confess before you that in the past week we have strayed from you, thought, word, and action. We've gone about our lives without much thought to you or how we should live, what is right, or who our Savior and Lord is. Father, wake us up from our spiritual sleep again this morning. Would you open up our eyes to see you in all of your glory and our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? And also help us, Father, to open up our eyes to our need for Christ, our need for you, and to look at ourselves and at our lives honestly, alertly. And then teach us, Father. Teach us repentance. Teach us faith. Teach us to respond rightly in all humility and repentance to what we see having been awakened by you. Father, we take great comfort when you say that you teach sinners. Again, how it shows your faithfulness and your patience. You do not teach the best and brightest. You teach those who so desperately need teaching. You teach those whom you know will not get it on the first, second, third, 100th try. But Father, by the grace of your Spirit, and in your wonderful faithfulness and patience, continue to teach us that we may grow and become more and more conformed to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end then, Father, would you bless the reading of your word and the preaching this morning, that it may be your teaching and your voice that we hear, that our eyes may be opened and we may be alert, and that we would know how to live for you. Do so by your word and Spirit, we pray, in Christ's name alone. Amen. This morning, we're continuing on looking at another proverb from Proverbs chapter 3. And in connection with that, we'll turn to the letter of James. James chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its course so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So far, the reading of God's word in preparation for our text. Let's continue then to sing from Psalm 25, stanzas 7, 8, and 10. We'll continue to talk about our trust and our confidence, our hope in the Lord. So Psalm 25, stanzas 7, 8, and 10. Let's now turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at verses 3 and 4. This morning, we'll continue with verses 5 and 6. We'll continue to read these in their context, instructions that we have here in Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. So our focus this morning is verse 5 and 6, this well-known proverb, trust in the Lord with all your hearts, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the proverb that we're looking at this morning calls us to trust. I put that in the theme as trust will make you wise. Wise by trusting in the Lord. When you hear that, do you agree right away? Or is there maybe a bit of skepticism? Initially, this morning, saying, well, I don't know. There's, of course, always being too trusting. We live in a world of scam calls, con artists. We live in a world of propaganda, a world in which you may take the news with a grain of salt because you know it's bent, it's leaning, perhaps the details that are being hidden. So maybe it's easier to say, or we have this inclination to say, like, well, trusting may not be a virtue. Actually, the wise man is the one who's a skeptic, who sees through things. He doesn't take things on face value. See, that is what it means to be wise, to be shrewd, not trusting. Now, in all fairness, if you go through the whole book of Proverbs, you will find those Proverbs that allude to the fact that we can be too trusting. You may say, when there's someone who's unreliable or someone who is unknown, don't necessarily trust them. Take something as a deposit. Take something as a guarantee. Don't be too trusting. That would be foolish. But what I want you to realize this morning is that if you had any sense of no skepticism, that is what makes one wise, we are in dangerous territory. Two main reasons, connected reasons. So there's even an inkling within us that skepticism is what makes us wise. It will cultivate in us, it will produce in us an inflated sense of our own understanding. If you believe that you are the one who can see through all things, if you are the one who sees everything as it really is, of course we want to believe that. It means that I'm smart. It means that I'm not like the others. And it very easily produces an inflated sense of our own wisdom, our own knowledge, of our own ability to judge the world. It's the first danger, and set tied with that, the fact is that none of us can really just rely on our own selves. We are always looking to support ourselves on something. When we have this inflated sense of self, we become blind to our supports, what we may call our idols, our false gods that are in our life, the crutches that we're holding on to. Because we think we see so clearly, but we are always blind to our own weaknesses, our own crutches, our own idols. And it's both these that this proverb addresses for us this week. Reminds us that we are wise only by trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. That's where it starts, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust. Trust. What does that look like? It's interesting how this proverb is set up. So often with proverbs, a kind of two lines that are very similar, or at least tied together, that help us understand both of them better. In this case, trust is set side by side with leaning. Lean not, the negative, but lean not on your own understanding. Now think about what you do when you're leaning on something. Talked about crutches already and supports. You know, if you lean on a wall, you may be leaning on it to hold you up. And generally, if you lean on something, you believe that this is able to hold my weight. It'll keep me up. We lean on something to support us. It's helpful for us to get thinking about, then, what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all our hearts? It's to lean fully on Him. There's a story of a 19th century missionary, John Peyton. Went all the way across the world from Scotland to the South Pacific, current day Vanuatu, I believe, one of the islands, the South Pacific. Dangerous work. Missionaries before him had been killed. He said, going to an island of cannibals. So there's all of those challenges in missionary work, but there's also the other challenge. Language barrier. How do you make it clear to people what Christianity is, who Jesus is, and how they should respond? How do you explain to someone what faith is? He struggled with that. And the story goes that after thinking about this for a long time and trying to understand what kind of concept, what kind of word would be able to get across to them what believing in Jesus really is, he was sitting on his chair, leaned all the way back, you know, feet up in the air, and he realized it. He asked one of the local ladies, saying, "What am I doing now?" She said, "You're leaning wholly." Perhaps their language had a special word for it, or at least as a concept, something that they could understand. He said, "That's it. That's it. If you believe in Jesus, what it means is that you lean wholly on Him. That is what faith is. Yes, that's what trust is. With all your hearts, to lean wholly, completely on Jesus." But I mean, the difficulty doesn't just stop there of trying to translate it, does it? The very fact that we have a proverb saying, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," is a warning sign for us, a reminder that we tend to have struggles with this. Tends to be competition in our life of those things that we trust, those things that we lean on for support, for comfort, for security, that are outside of the Lord. If you read the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at a couple of different Proverbs this morning to flesh out some of the dangers, the competition that there may be in our hearts, you'll notice there's a wide variety. We'll look at three. Proverbs, in Proverbs 29, verse 25, warns us against trusting in people. Reads, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Do you have it on the screen? Proverbs 29, verse 25, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Again, the language of trust again, but contrasted this time with the fear of man. We likely recognize in our own hearts the fear of man, a trust in them. That idea that if I just know the right people or make the right friends, they're able to help me, I may achieve the things that I want to achieve, or when disaster hits, when anything goes wrong, I have the support I need. Or maybe more today. You wonder if you're doing a good job. As a father, as a mom, as an employee, as a businessman, where do you go for that affirmation? Where do you go for that sense of, yes, I have made it, I am doing right? And to ease your conscience, to ease your anxiety. It's very easy to fall in the trap. Only always going by the opinions of other people. People will be fickle. People will let you down. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Our heart might be leaning on a trust in people. Our heart may also be leaning on a trust in wealth. Proverbs 18, verse 10 and 11. Next verse, another proverb. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. It's, of course, a proverb that comes from a different time, different place. And yet, I think we all recognize what it's talking about here. Danger came into the country. Where did you go? Where did you go for security? You went to a fortress, something that was fortified, something with walls, military strength, fortification, that would keep you safe. And it says, look, the wealthy think that their wealth is that unscalable wall, that which will keep them safe. They go and hide behind it. We may recognize in our own lives. Say, yes, I trust in the Lord. But also, it's easy to trust in Him when I have this much in my bank account or this much that my future is secure. Or even if you don't have it, you may still be leaning on it. Because you just have the thought that only if I had this much money, this much wealth, then I would be secure. Becomes our unscalable wall, that idea that, yes, if we just had this, if we just had wealth, we could be secure, we could rest, we could be at ease, we could have joy. And our hearts may lean on our wealth, our riches. And one more, one that is also the focal point this morning. We may trust in our own understanding. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says it even stronger, I'd say. It says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. He who trusts in himself is a fool. It doesn't just say don't lean on your own understanding. It says if you do, you are foolish. He who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Do you recognize foolishness in your own life? This particular kind of foolishness. We know we're not all-knowing. We know we don't control our lives. We know we do not have all wisdom. And yet, we often go through life thinking that we do. Day by day, there are those moments when we have to decide whether we trust in our own understanding of things or whether we do the way that the Lord has commanded us and has taught us. And what do we do? How often in the past week have you said, I think I know better? I can't quite trust God on this. I got to do it on my own, in my own way, in my own time. And it seems good in the moment, but it's absolutely foolish, isn't it? The proverb is right. He who trusts in himself is a fool. How often do we get it wrong? But not only that. Here we have the Almighty God, the source of all wisdom, of all life, of all joy, of every security. And yet we say, I don't need that. I know better. What pride! What arrogance! And this is why Proverbs says, what foolishness. Do not lean on your own understanding. And isn't that really also what is at the heart of sin? Look at your own lives. The decision that you made to go against the Lord, it is always coming from that sense of pride, of arrogance, of knowing better. This isn't just a warning for other people. It's a warning for us all, because this is our default position in life and our relationship with God and relationship with the world, saying we know best and no one can tell us otherwise. And it makes us fools. It cuts us off from the source of wisdom. It cuts us off from the source of security and comfort and joy and life. And with that inflated sense of self, we still recognize that we're not enough. So then we do cling to those idols of wealth, people, fear of man, money, power, and so many other pleasure, so many other idols, just saying to try to make enough. The proverb says, trust. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. And if you're not sure if this is you, that this applies to you this morning, just look at your own life. Think about what James says about the one who knows he needs wisdom, but then seeks it from the Lord, is asking. God is going to give generously, but what does James warn? He says, look, don't doubt. Trust in him with all your hearts. Because if you don't, you're that unstable, that double-minded man. You're like a wave tossed in the sea. And you may recognize it in your own life. You don't know the direction in which you should go because, well, you're tossed back and forth. You're going here and there. This looks like a great plan. That looks like a great achievement. But you can never be satisfied. You never know which way you're going. You may look at your life this morning and say, it feels like I'm not rooted. I don't have a foundation. And you're probably right if you're not leaning wholly on Jesus. He's the only foundation you can lean on. Right? It will flow out into how we live practically. You may say, like, oh, I struggle so much. I want to read my Bible more. I want to spend more time with the Lord. But because you do not fully trust him, you never prioritize that. You're always going for the things that are pressing, not for the things that are important. Tossed to and fro. You may find it as a parent, you want to teach others, you want to teach your children the priorities, the things that you want them to know in life, and yet you struggle. But you don't know what it is your own heart needs to be taught. You're not 100% sure that you can rely on the Lord in everything. And you can take that this morning and go out and you say, look, I get it. Now, I'll try harder. I'll read more. I'll grow smarter. I'll try to control maybe more of my life. So that's what we tend to do. Think as long as I'm in control, as long as I grow smarter, as long as I try harder, somehow those things will save me. But hear the wonderful invitation this morning, brothers and sisters. Yes, it's a command, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But isn't that a wonderful invitation? Think about it. Your God says, trust me. If you lack wisdom, trust me, I'll give it to you. I will make you wise. If you seek clarity in your life, listen to me. And trust my word. If you seem to have no rootedness, no foundation, say, trust me, lean completely on me, and you will be on a rock. You will be secure. If you lack foundation, build on this rock that is Jesus Christ. Lean wholly on me. And this gets to the root of what it calls here the most basic elements of trust and what the Lord calls us to, and that is that trust that the Lord will save you. Throughout Scripture, this language of trust comes up again and again, generally in the context of trouble, of needing deliverance. One of the Old Testament passages where this language is used again and again and very concentrated is during the reign of King Hezekiah. If you may know the story, some of the details. At that time, the northern kingdom has been invaded by the Assyrians. They come down. They think, hey, we can come in, swoop up Judea as well, take Jerusalem. And they besiege Jerusalem. And Hezekiah, as a king, right, has to decide, what is my deliverance going to be? Is it my military strength? Is it the walls of the city? Is it my wealth? I can buy them off. Or will it be the Lord? And it says that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah. The Lord saw him through. The army was nothing before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're lacking, no matter what foolishness you find yourself in, what the Lord says is, trust me that I will deliver you. Take my hand as I am taking hold of you. But maybe you wonder how. You want to, you've tried, say, yes, I must trust the Lord more. But how? It's not only is it difficult, you may know of trust that has been broken, that has left its marks in your life. You may know difficult circumstances, saying, I can't see it, Lord. I don't know what you're doing right now. How can I trust you? Well, the very next verse says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge him. You know, first reading, and maybe as you heard it this morning, you think about ways in which, yes, in all areas of life, in all of our ways, we may confess that we trust in the Lord, acknowledge him, confess that he is our God and our Savior, which is important. That, yes, no matter what circumstances, that we may be clear and acknowledge, this is the one whom I trust in. And the NIV tries to help us here in translating, but it also then kind of covers over, obscures a deeper sense. The word for acknowledge is also the Hebrew word just simply for know. To know. In all your ways, know him. And think about the people that you trust. Did you trust them on first sight? Did you trust them while they were still a stranger to you? I doubt it. Generally, when it comes to trusting someone, it's because we know them. We know how they've been through thick and thin. We know their character. We know whether they're true to their word, whether they're faithful, whether they're loyal, whether they are trustworthy. Because we know them. You wonder how to trust in the Lord. Well, know him in all your ways. So we see believers do throughout the Old Testament. We see especially believers do in the Psalms. When they wrestle with God, when they struggle, what do? Well, they cry out to God. In all of their ways, in all of their circumstances, they say, Lord, I must come to you. And so many Psalms, when they're really struggling, what do they go to? What do they hold on to? They say, well, I know you. I know your character. You are faithful, or you are loving, or you are gracious. So you will not let me be ashamed. Or you will save me. Or they will cling to God's promises. Lord, you have said that you will be near to those who are brokenhearted. Lord, you have said that you will be our shepherd. God's character and his word. They know him. And that's why they trust in him. Even as they struggle to trust in him. So how to trust in the Lord? Know him in all your ways. And for us, there's no better way to know him than as God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. So we know that Jesus is the wisdom revealed from God to cover over all of our foolishness, to save us from that foolishness. We know that Jesus is the righteous one to cover over all of our sin. We know that Jesus is the one who came humbly and meekly to cover all of our pride and all of our arrogance and to pay for it. We know that Jesus is the one who trusted, yes, even on the cross, even in the anguish of hell, yet said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's turning to the Lord and trusting in him. So whatever it is this morning, you may say, look, this is what makes it hard to trust in the Lord. This is what makes it hard for me to now wholly, completely lean on him. Then ask yourself, what is it that God has given me in Jesus Christ? That allows me to lean wholly on him. Is your future up in the air? Consider the promises that God has given you for the future. How he will walk with you, care for you. Is that even the future cannot separate you from the love of Christ? Is it sickness? Is it financial? Is it a spiritual matter? Whatever it may be, consider the blessings that you have in Christ and then wonder, why won't I trust in the Lord with all my heart? Why won't I take hold of this invitation to trust in him, to know him in all of my ways, in all of my circumstances, in all that I experience? And to hold on to that promise, and he will make your paths straight. What does it look like? How is this experienced? So we've gone through this sermon, which you notice, and through these verses. Just the picture of leaning wholly on Christ as leaning back in a chair, grounded, rested, stable. That's what the Lord says comes as we trust in him. Full of wisdom, and grace, and truth. Not leaning on ourselves, not leaning on idols, but fully trusting in him. And knowing him in all of our circumstances. And he will make your paths straight. As children of God, take hold of his hand and walk with him. And trust in him with all your heart. And he will make your paths straight. Amen.